Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Welcome to the Social. Wonderful to have you with us. Lainey is away today, but CTV's chief financial commentator, Patty Lovett Reed, is back to join this conversation. Wonderful, as always, Patty, to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm absolutely delighted to be here. It's fun.
We love having you here, Patty, always. And we are starting with this question. What do you think that offices are going to look like in the future? Do you envision skyscrapers being filled up again in downtown cores? Well, according to research from the Toronto Region Board of Trade, most downtown workers, in fact, 64%, say that they feel safe now returning to the workplace. So do you envision offices returning to, like, quote unquote, normal in the future? Mm-hmm.
Let's go right to Frenchie Jen on Twitter. She writes us, three friends and I were told at the end of last year that our companies were not moving back to office spaces until 2023 or 2024. Companies have let go of multiple leases and condensed into one space. If we need to go into the office, we book time, the new normal. And Frenchie Jen, rather, that's the new normal for a lot of my friends, too. I've got a friend who works in advertising and another one who works in film productions. Their bosses just decided to let everyone work from home and gave up leases in the downtown core. And first of all, I do wonder how that's going to affect the downtown core, because when they were going into work every day, think about all the money they were spending in businesses that were also downtown. Mm-hmm. But I also want to think about how their bosses are saving so much money on that, on, because they're not paying what, like $20,000, $30,000, maybe more in rent downtown? Like, and with that money they're saving, I'm also reading about employees being given the choice to work at home, but taking a pay cut. So those two things don't equal up to me. And Patty, I'd love for you to dig into that for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have been talking with a number of individual companies, and surprisingly, a lot of employees do want to come back to the office. They are changing up their signage. They're making sure it's touchless. In some cases, they'll be doing rapid testing. I think the new normal won't be an either or. It's going to be a blend. People may still come into the office for meetings, for one-on-one coaching, strategy sessions, that sort of thing. Employers want to make sure it's a positive experience. And so they're doing everything they can to make that happen. We're not there yet. But on the other side of it, I don't think we really know yet what the new normal is going to be. I think individuals will be tethered to a workplace, but that doesn't mean that they go in every day. And I worry about a lot of people who have moved completely out of the downtown core saying, I never have to go in again. Well, I'm just not so sure that'll happen a year from now once we get this sort of herd immunity with the vaccine taking hold and the economy really does open up.
That's where my head goes right away, Patty, is the vaccine. I don't think we have yet to understand the kind of world that this is going to open back up to us. And our memories seem very short. And while I agree that I think there's going to be a permanent change in terms of options for work and life balance, I also believe in the rebound of the urban centers. You know, social scientists that I've been listening to, they're all saying that the post-pandemic era for them is about the year 2024. And that's the amount of time that they predict that this sort of slow transition back into normal times is going to take place, and that they consider post-pandemic, once all the dust has settled and we've slowly started to forget this year that was. My mom just got a vaccine yesterday, and I didn't let myself imagine what was possible now that my parents have a real prospect of having a normal life again. My daughter's at home, as many parents who have that option kept their kids home because I wasn't secure about her going to school. But now I'm like, oh my God, once my parents are fully vaccinated, is there an option to put my daughter back in school, which would make my work from home life so much more sane? And like, okay, that's,
but
that
Mel, you
want
to one day,
right, that I'm
go
looking
back
forward
to, the office,
to as well,
right?
And so that's the stuff that I think we're not ready yet to accept, but I think we can start thinking about it.
I think you're right,
like,
about that.
I hear you.
And I also just want to throw out there that it's not going to be an either or. There's going to be a balance there. People will tell you, and I'm one of them, I could walk to work, but I'm way more productive at home. I write blogs every day. I post them every day. I concentrate differently because I talk to everybody in the office. I'm distracted in a nanosecond. So there's going to be a bit of a balance.
Okay, Patty, I'm curious your thoughts about how that will impact salaries, because I'm hearing different information. There's some people who think that if you are somebody who has liked working from home and you can still do that, even in the after times, that if you choose to do that, you might be, maybe a company will say, well, then you have to take a salary cut, which seems kind of crappy on one hand. And yet I also feel badly for people who will continue to have to go into the office because that's just the nature of their work. They have to be there in person. Yeah. And maybe they feel like, oh, I would love to work from home. So maybe they should get a pay raise. Yeah. So what do you think, how do you think salary is going to be impacted?
You know what? Yeah. I'm not so sure salaries really will be. I mean, certainly there's talk and there's all sorts of speculation, but Mel already made reference to the fact we have no idea really what this new normal is going to look like. There is still a war for talent. There have been people working from home doing a lot of heavy lifting for organizations. And I doubt that they're ever going to be told, you know what, we're going to take 25% of your pay away because you have been working from home. Sure, there's going to be chatter about it, but I would be hesitant to say that's actually going to happen.
I was confused
by this. I miss you guys and like after work drinks, going down the street for a little nibble. Like there's a whole bunch. We forget the social atmosphere of work. I mean, we have been completely devoid of almost all of that, save for Zoom and, you know, stuff online. And I, for one, I miss you guys so much. And Sin, you know, with all your nail polish and everything, I still miss you sharing an office. And like, you know, like I miss all that stuff. But miss you guys. I miss the social part of work. And I think we are innately social beings. This was not the way that our ancestors developed. We developed as groups. And I think there's a real pull to come back to that.
Well, I think you're right. And you make a really good point, because I've talked to a number of individuals about this. What do we miss the most? The socialization, the orientation, the structure to our day. You know, it's the chit chat at the water cooler, so to speak, but it's the informal conversations. It's the person that thought that they were on track to climb the corporate ladder, maybe, and all of a sudden they feel out of sight, out of mind. And there may be some truth to that. So I do think there's also an onus on us as individuals, to the extent that we can, be the person that says yes, be the one that reaches out, have those one-on-one career conversations and discussions with people. Sometimes we can wait for others to come to us when making the first move is really powerful.
Well, let's continue with a little water cooler talk, virtual, just between us four gals, if you don't mind, because I'm curious to know how parents feel about pandemic birthdays for kids. There's a piece in the Globe and Mail written by a mom who says she actually prefers these simple, small scale celebrations. So the question is, do you?
Yeah, last year, Marquez's birthday is this coming Monday, March the 8th, which is also International Women's Day. And last year, it was the last gathering that we had with all the kids, most of the kids and the parents together. And they had gone to this great painting lounge in downtown Toronto. And it was really interactive for both the kids and for the parents, you know, but then we didn't know. We didn't know that literally like a week later or 10 days later, boom, everything shut down. So I'm getting very nostalgic about her birthday this coming Monday or this weekend as we celebrate. And I am doing a Zoom magic show birthday party, but parents are definitely welcome to participate in addition to the kids. So what it made me realize is that it's good. It's fine for a pandemic, but I like me a good birthday party. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be extravagant. That's not what I'm talking about. But more and more and more, as you go deeper into parenthood, there is a part of you that gets really pulled away from the adult relationships. And I know there's a lot of parents going, oh my gosh, I could live life with never going to another birthday party. But for us and our close family and our friends, it is actually a time for parents to socialize a little bit as well. And it's an experience. And so as long, I think what I'm taking away from this is the experience.
I'm just curious, Jess, you don't have kids, but you are close to your nephew. Would you prefer to be invited to a Zoom birthday party or an actual birthday party or neither of a kid that you love?
Well, I would prefer the Zoom, but Mel, when I tell you what I'm going to tell you, I don't think you will invite me to a virtual party, because I went to my nephew's 7-year-old birthday party and it was virtual. And I'm not proud of this, guys, but I kind of sabotaged it. You know, it's a bunch of 7-year-olds, and we played this game where you had to design a t-shirt, and the group voted on the best one. And I won't lie, my t-shirts were the best. I was the best drawer, I had the best captions, way better than Finch's or Kyle's. And I got robbed on a couple of rounds, so I upped my caption game, and I started using words like poop and pee, and the kids went wild. I had them. They were crying with laughter. But the parents, I don't think they were impressed.
Okay, before we run out of time on this topic, I have a Zoom call today with my brother and sister because this time last year, it was my mother's 87th birthday. We missed it.
Aww.
Hers is March 18th. We got her an iPhone. She's on Instagram, often doesn't like my hair. Comments out there for everyone to see. But I'm just going to say, I didn't even know. When I saw Joyce Fraser, I thought, is this an imposter? No, it was my mother. But we're talking about her birthday. What are we going to do? Mel, help. Like, I got to do something. We can't miss another one.
No. I've got great ideas.
Patty, I've got great ideas.
I'll email you.
I feel like back in the day, this has become like a huge thing for birthdays. Remember when our parents gave us birthday parties? Like, basically, yes. it was a cake. It was a hat. It was a song. Yes. Some gifts. Period.
Frozen.
Full stop.
I had horseback riding.
Barry Manilow in the background.
I had
like,
horseback
our parents
riding.
Didn't care. There was no big pomp and circumstance, but now it's become this all out affair. We feel stressed. We feel extra stressed during pandemic times. I say, release yourself from the stress. If your kid is showing up and you know, they're getting something, they're probably going to enjoy it and they aren't going to remember it in many cases anyway.
Amen.
How do you feel about people who are picky when it comes to dating? There's an article in British Vogue and it basically says that, listen, leave women alone who are picky, because men are allowed to have standards and all this whole list of things that they want, and everyone seems to leave them alone. But it's the women all of a sudden, they're getting judged for being too picky. Let's chime in on this one. Should be good.
Okay, can I just jump in here then? I got to yes. tell you, I reached out to the author of that article via Instagram in a direct message. And I said, I really like this because I do think people are picky, but I think you got to be picky about the right thing. And, you know, there was a bit of a dialogue there. You know, I think, you know, to my husband's credit, and we've been together 26 years, you know, he went to Harvard. I have grade 12. I was a little picky, so I kind of punched above my class, so to speak. But that's not really what it was about, and I'm kind of joking here. What I'm really saying is I want to be picky about your values. I want to make sure that we're aligned. I don't think and I don't care if we're ever going to be the cover of Vogue. It's not going to happen. But there are things that are just game stoppers. And I want to see a little humility, but I also want to have a little fun. I want humor. So yeah, you can be picky. I think so.
Patty, I totally agree in certain instances. Like, you have to be picky. For instance, if a 37-year-old woman wants to have kids and she's certain of it, she's going to be picky if she's choosing a partner. If he doesn't want a family, you know, why waste not only her time, but his time too? But I will say that sometimes you think you know what you want and what your deal breakers are, but meeting someone in person rather than on an online profile can change that. Like, if I had seen Simon's profile online 16 years ago, I would have skipped over it. Like, university dropout, lives at home with his parents, works at a consignment shop, and has incredibly hairy forearms. Like, no, I would have just, no. But I hit the jackpot.
You're so right, Jess. Like, I do think that the online dating world has really, really changed the game and made people, I think, even like reduce their chances of meeting someone even more because we're so like quick to swipe. But I do, I'm going to go to Knox's Coven on Twitter, who says expectations do not equal preferences. Have all the preferences you want, but don't expect everyone you come across to be Prince Charming or 100% perfect, as those are more fantasy than reality these days. And that's the thing. We are all annoying. Like, I love how this is like, oh, we're talking about women having sex. Has anyone thinking about like, what are you, like, are you bringing to the table? And are you perfect? You're probably, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm annoying. And you have to accept that no matter, even if you meet someone who's amazing, they are going to bug you some days. They really are. If you want a long-term relationship, if you don't, then who cares?
Because there's that same sin, right? Familiarity breeds contempt. It doesn't matter how amazing anybody seems on paper.
Right.
The day in and day out of life is the true test. And that cannot be fast forwarded. That cannot be captured in an online profile. You just got to do it. And call me old school because I was not in the era of online dating. But it is people, it seems, I could be very wrong, but it seems that people treat online dating like they're ordering dinner on an app. There's boxes. You just check it. Then you hit send and you think it's getting delivered to your house with no work.
Well, you know what, Mel? Like, I think you're right.
We all have work to do.
You know, think about this pandemic era. There are a lot of people who have met for the first time and they've never had the opportunity to go out and socialize. They haven't been to barbecues, mm-hmm. out for dinner, to the theater. I don't know, what do people do? But that type of thing. And so the fact is that they have, you know, in many cases, redefined how relationships can start and dealing with issues much sooner than later. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because it kind of reminds me of before social media.
Hmm. Although yeah, when they bring them out like for Cynthia, the first time to that family barbecue, they might be like, oh, maybe I chose wrong. Yes, Mel, go.
No, I was going to ask you because like to me, and again, this might be an old school thing, but I do believe in the mystery, the chemistry of a face-to-face meeting. Like you said, Jess, about Simon, on paper, I wouldn't have necessarily chosen Ryan, but in person, it's like, I couldn't peel myself off of him. And so like, that's that mystery, that thing in the middle, pheromones, chemistry, whatever it is, sin. That needs to be explored, that mystery. I don't believe you can get that digitally.
I can tell you that Jim and I met at the gym. I had no makeup on. It was at 5 a.m. in the morning. I went in the oldest workout clothes and disputed him on business issues every time we were on the treadmill beside each other. And you know
so
what?
Hot.
For the longest time, I thought his name was Rick. And then when I actually went out on a date, he said, you might want to call me Jim. I said, why? He goes, well, that's my name. Are you kidding me?
My
so,
God,
you know,
love
yeah, different starts.
And sparks flew from there.
Kind of.
Okay, speaking of being picky, here's a question. Would you ever try ranch dressing on your pasta? Would you? Rap artist Saweetie is stirring up, I have to say it that way every single time, is stirring up debate online with this concoction. Yep, she did that. Does it look good to you?
Well, I can't even remember what ranch tastes like because I think the last time I had it was at a Ponderosa in 1993. Do you remember how popular it was in the 90s? But I do remember it's like vaguely sweet for some reason. Am I right on that? It's like it's mayonnaise and that's throwing me off with spaghetti, like sweet spaghetti. I don't want that.
No. Oh my God, Jess, you need to come over. It's like, it's not my cup of tea, but Ryan, who's Italian, I asked him this morning, where would you not put ranch dressing? And he's like, sat there. There's nowhere he wouldn't put it. And I was like, spaghetti? Ooh. You're Italian. Answer carefully. He's like, I think I'd even put it on my spaghetti. I was like, someone's revoking your Italian card.
I couldn't even eat a wedge salad with ranch on it. You know how it's all goopy? No, absolutely not. That's all I got to say.
I used to have a boyfriend who used to put ranch dressing on just about everything. And I think maybe that's why I associate, like, I don't think he had the most good taste when it came to food. So I'm judging it a bit. I mean, I think wings is about the only acceptable place for ranch, right? Like,
but, well, no, but I mean, vegetables, like vegetable dip is like a quick, easy way. But don't you guys find like, it's so strong. Well, Jess doesn't remember what it tastes like, but sweet. It is a flavor that begins, it actually masks absolutely everything else. It could kind of live in the world of a ketchup or a honey mustard that Ryan also likes garlic dip. It overtakes the entire dish.
Okay, that's so I have to ask you guys this question then, because I've racked my brain when I knew that this was going to be a topic before we went to commercial. I can't think of anything outrageous that I do when I come to eating. Talk about boring. But okay, ranch aside, what's wild that you do? Anyone jump in.
I drink pickle juice. So
you do drink pickle
juice? What did you do?
That's about it. I drink pickle juice. You guys know this. I love pickles, dill pickles. And then when I finish the jar, then
I used to put, that's just, delicious. I've seen you do it. And I mean, that's not that weird. I used to put peanut butter and mayonnaise together when I was a kid and I loved it. I haven't tried it in years. Please don't judge. Yes. It was delicious as a child. I'll report back again, or somebody try it. Let me know if you've tried that.
I think I will try that because I can't even imagine consuming that right now. I think I'm like Patty. I don't do anything outside of the ordinary. I'm trying to think. Nothing. Just a basic eater.
I'm sure you do.
Basic.
Well, we'll give you some time to think about it, because as we move on to our last topic, when you think of like a luxury home or a luxury getaway, I wonder if any of you think of something that looks like a historic military fort. There it is. A British entrepreneur has converted his historic military fort off the coast of England into a luxury island retreat. Like, especially post-pandemic, as we dream about what's around the corner, is this a luxury getaway for you, ladies?
I mean, it looks like something between, like, a cruise ship and a baseball diamond and a military bunker, right? Like, it's sort of, the outside is very questionable, but the inside is kind of great. Like, I think, especially during pandemic times, I can imagine gathering together. Like, check that out!
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And if you could choose, like, a specific group of people, and then you just, like, move in to
That's
this,
cool.
this Right? There's like thousands, I think tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. It's what?
It's got its own pub.
Anybody feel claustrophobic?
I mean, Mel, if
yeah,
you
no,
throw
not for me.
A
I
birthday
do.
Party, this is where you do it.
But just
Get
for
a couple
one night.
Choppers?
One
yeah.
time, one night.
Fly in, fly out.
Patty, what's your thoughts? Is this your dream home, or what
no.
is your dream home?
No, absolutely not. No, that's not my idea of luxury. I don't want to have to take all the hassle to get there and then to come back. And when I look around, yeah, it looks kind of cool. Maybe I would do it for a weekend. But if you talk about a luxury getaway, no, that doesn't define it for me. I'm just going to say. I'm looking for beaches. Where's the beach in that thing?
Yeah.
Like, where's the beach?
Too cold.
You got the water all around you. I'm sure there's a beach nearby
beach.
You can get to.
I want a beach, too.
Okay.
I want a beach.
A lot of work.
I'm into
work.
It.
I will say that I think I've shared, like, I think I need water nearby my dream home. I don't think it's that. But that's why we bought this little small piece of property this past summer in order to build our dream home. I think more and more people during this pandemic are thinking about dream homes, because we realize, like, it's possible that we may not be able to travel or travel in the same ways as we did before. So I think that's why we've seen this explosion in real estate mm-hmm. and why people are trying to seek out where they can make their oasis.
Yeah, exactly. Just maybe not that, unless the aliens are invading.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.